Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how you doing? What's going on? Getting back into work after your never-ending holiday away. He's back. Yeah.
There's a scene in X-Files. I was never a big X-Files fan. I think I watched two series of it. And is it Eugene Toombs? You probably don't remember this, Chris, because it was way before your time. There's a character called Eugene Toombs who I think could squeeze through small ducts and stuff. And I feel like I'm Eugene Toombs. I've got my arm in the duct and I'm just sort of slowly oozing into work life again.
I thought you said he could squeeze through small ducts, and that portrayed a very disturbing image in my mind.
I'm sure he'd have a go. If he needed to... To spook someone out, I reckon he'd have a go at climbing up a cloaca, so to speak.
Where did this come from? What?
I don't know.
I'm thinking this up on the fly.
I'm thinking of myself sort of easing myself into work, oozing myself into work, dripping myself down the, big tube that is work.
It's this sort of powerful, vivid imagery that has kept the Abroad Japan podcast going into its four-year anniversary. Very good. Well. But Pete, I am bracing myself. I am going off on a trip. You've returned from your thousand-year holiday to the Caribbean and Dallas, and now I'm going to Okinawa, a little bit closer to home. But I've been in, I've only been in Okinawa one time, and that was five years ago, I think. Yeah. And I didn't really do much. I sat on a beach. I ate some spam. And hopefully I can go above and beyond that in this series. But it is Journey Across Japan. And it's called Escape to Paradise. What do you think of that?
Home of Chucky, of course.
And Chucky's joining. Did I tell you that?
Oh, is Chucky gone over? Oh, great stuff.
She is.
Great news. Fantastic.
Just especially for Journey Across Japan, for one day of filming. She's come all the way back from the UK. That's not entirely true. But she's in it. And it was really lucky, actually. I haven't seen Chucky since, the last time I saw you in Sapporo, 300 years ago. And so it'll be great to catch up with her. I said to her, I think I was talking to her, and she said, I'm coming home to Japan in April. And I was like, fuck a doodle do. I'm going to be there too. Come in my video. Let's eat things. Let's swim. And she was up for it. And so I've rented rented a yacht for the day.
Wow.
I'm not going to sail it myself. That would be...
Like the Rio video.
Yeah. It'll be just like that. Rio. With Natsuki dancing on the bow of the ship to Rio from Duran Duran.
Wow.
That's going to be good. It's going to be good. Well, hopefully it's
going to
be good.
Oh, so much fun. Well, I guess it's kind of... So what are we looking at? It's like sort of cracking off for the middle of May. It's going to be bloody warm down there. It's a proper paradise island, isn't it?
Hence the name Escape to Paradise.
Yeah.
We didn't have a bloody clue what to call this series of Journey Across Japan. I wanted the word paradise in there.
Yeah.
And so originally it was going to be called Paradise Islands, But then I thought people might get confused with the Lost Islands.
Okay,
and then we thought Escape to Paradise. But then the second series of Journey Across Japan is called Escape to Fuji. So do you have any ideas?
Oh, it's the hardest bit, isn't it? It's the hardest bit. You're always whinging about like editing and filming and stuff. The hardest bit is actually coming up with a name of the damn thing in the first place.
It's true. It is true. Come on, you're good. You're good at this shit. Paradise. Give me some titles. Journey Across Japan.
Sand in your pants. Journey Across Japan. Sand in your pants. Journey Across Japan. How to Ruin a Perfectly Good Galaxy Fold 3. Sand. A phone call from a shell. Journey Across Japan. A phone call from a shell.
No.
Journey Across Japan. Under the sea. Under the sea. It is much better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. I sort of did a bit of an Indian accent there. I didn't mean to. Apologies, everyone.
Got a Journey Across Japan down where it's wetter.
Yeah, down where it's wetter. That sounds like a sex holiday. sounds like you got to Sandals Jamaica or something.
Oh, bloody
hell. With apologies to Sandals Jamaica, because I'm thinking of hedonism. Have you ever seen that clip, Chris, of Hedo Rick?
No.
Or Hedo Rick? He's this guy, right? And hedonism is like a kind of a resort for older people who are up for a bit of rumpy pumpy, and I believe that's the case, right? It's an adult only resort. Right. It's a little bit sexy. It's a little bit, let's face it, a bit depressing. But it's funny because of that, right? But there's this guy on YouTube who's called Hedo Rick, who is very into the cut and thrust of hedonism. He is a man of advancing years, still looks good, still got a good body, still lovely and tanned. He's got kind of salt and pepper hair, and he's in Speedos, right?
Right.
And this guy is interviewing this guy about why he likes hedonism, right? And he basically says, I like it because the wild women, the ripping and the tearing. I don't really know what ripping and tearing means, but I'm presuming he's talking about waves. I'm hoping he's talking about waves. And then he starts doing this kind of dance. You know, like they play some sort of Caribbean music and he starts doing like some kind of funky dancing, like you would see a woman do in a Shaggy video. And then he nearly slips on a bit of water. And he's pretty famous. But if you've never seen Hedo Rick, Hedo Rick, give it a Google, give it a YouTube. Well worth a watch.
Are you as hedonistic as Hedo Rick?
No, but I was on a boat in the Caribbean quite recently, and they were serving this kind of fruit punch, and it turned from a quite sedate look at the Piton volcanic hills, mountains, into people just dancing to the Beatles and stuff on the boat. And I was like, this is turning into a Hedo Rick situation, and I'm a little bit concerned.
You lucky devil. Well, I hope
you
can,
lucky devil, ripping in the tail.
Pull that off on our yacht, getting drunk and listening to the Beatles. I want to make that happen. But yeah. I'm off, though, tomorrow. The journey begins. But
fun.
I'm well out of my depth on this one. I've booked like lots of things to do, but I've got no plan. And with Journey Across Japan, because you don't know what the challenges are going to be on a day-by-day basis, it sort of adds a curveball in there. I don't think we're going to be making any more iTunes chart-topping songs anytime soon.
Chart-toppers, Why don't we just call this series Chris and Natsuki Get a Tan? Because I'll say, right, Chris, you said something on Twitter saying that you're a bit down about your weight or whatever. Just get a fucking tan, because I'm down about my weight. I went and got a tan. God, I look 10 times better. I actually look quite muscular. It hides it. Wow. Like, take your top off, get a tan, and honestly, or just get a spray tan. Honestly, you look so much better with your top off if you got a tan. I had no idea. I think that's why muscle men put that creosote over themselves.
I don't need to lose weight or lower my cholesterol or blood pressure.
Just get a fucking tan.
I just need a tan. I'll bear that in mind, Pete. I'll bear that in mind. I probably will get tan, though, if I'm going to be rolling around on a beach in Okinawa for a week. Fingers crossed. Get me the tan I deserve. We've got a story this week from Luke from New Zealand. And it begins,
Luke.
Why I Man, Chris and Pete, my friends, Eric, Macca and I were visiting Japan for my first time in 2019. Our trip started in Osaka, which we'd heard had great nightlife. So naturally, on our second day of our trip, we decided to venture off into the depths of Dotonbori. We were amazed how fun it was being able to wander around with a drink in hand, as this is illegal in cities in New Zealand, and we spent the first few hours of the night sightseeing the neon-lit back alleyways, eating okonomiyaki pancakes and sloshing down a few strong zeros. It sounds very similar to what we did. After a few hours, it's fair to say, we were pretty sozzled and looking for somewhere to sit down for another beer, when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a big red door with the words "The Lunatic Bar" written on it. Right away, I knew this was the place we wanted to be for our next drink, and maybe it would have some kind of wacky theme to keep us entertained. How naive I was. Oh, God. I very casually slung open the big red door, and my friends and I shuffled inside to find a very dimly lit room with a merry old man sitting behind a very small bar. He looked very chuffed with himself. I leaned over and confidently uttered the words, "Mitsubiru onegaishimasu," three beers, to which he gave me a rather perplexed look. Did I say something wrong? An awkward moment passed, and the next thing I knew, a voice loomed over my right ear. "Do you know where you are?" she said, very saucily. "What is this?" I turned around to see a very tall, blonde and beautiful Japanese woman, kitted out in full bondage gear, mere inches away from my face. I sobered up very quickly and noticed many more beautiful Japanese women in bondage gear lying around some kind of sitting area. I started to feel very bashful. The woman asked me very intimidatingly, "Do you speak Japanese?" To which I said, No, I don't. Not really. And then we were very swiftly ushered out of the door along with Eric and Maka. I realise now that it must have been some kind of bondage-themed snack bar. But boy, did it come as a shock. I just wanted a beer. My question for you guys is, have you ever stumbled into any situations or bars where you immediately realised you were way in over your head or any other tomfoolery? Cheers, fellas. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Luke from New Zealand. What now, a interesting story. What's the bar
what
called
again? What a story.
Again?
Say again?
What's the bar it's called? The Lunatic Bar.
The Lunatic Bar. So if you're into that sort of thing, you know where to go. And Luke, who I'm thinking of as Luke from the Bushwhackers in the WWE, because they were from New Zealand, and it was called Luke, and I imagine they probably had mates called Maka and Eric. But they had the perfect excuse to stick around. It was an accident. Yeah. They didn't know it was there. It was just called the Lunatic Bar. You don't generally sort of say that people who are into S&M are really, you know, lunatics and stuff. They had plausible deniability, like Principal Skinner in The Simpsons when he goes to the bordello and he says, I was only in there trying to get directions on how to get away from there. You had the perfect excuse, Luke, to stick around and see what the hell was going on in there.
Well, I've looked it up, and
right,
it's just like a photo of a woman in bondage. Bar Lunatic, Osaka. Type that in. Oh. Stop on by. We'll have to go next time you're in town. When when she asks, "Do you speak Japanese?" I'll be like, "Hi." just lie. Hi. Just be like, yeah, hi.
Just trying to sort of think of the word for pain and whips.
Shigaimasu.
Shigaimasu.
That would be good fun. I mean, we haven't gone. I mean, I took you to a snack bar the first time I showed you around.
I don't think that is applicable in this case. I don't think this is necessarily your common or garden snack bar, Christopher.
You were still pretty uncomfortable, though, having two girls sit either side of you while you sang the Backstreet Boys.
I would prefer people to be in whips and chains, because then I'd be like, well, at least I know what sort of place this is. Otherwise, I just feel like there's something very weird going on.
It's not too dissimilar from Hartlepool, is it? The old
very much so.
The Lunatic Bar. All right, what stories have we got this week, Dave? But there you go, guys. Keep an eye out for Lunatic Bar in Osaka. A good night out there, if you can speak Japanese. Story Fantastic. Of the week. Hit me, Pete. What we got?
Now, Chris, you are obviously the president of Cat Nation. You love cats.
Again.
You love cats more than anything in your whole world. And I know for a fact that I would say to a man, a woman, pretty much every a Braun Japan fan, certainly on Twitter, appears to be big fans of cats. Like, pretty much everyone who sort of follows me, who clearly interested in your stuff, Chris, they invariably have cats. And it's a weird kind of quirk of your demographic, Chris. Everyone who likes the Broad Japan podcast also likes cats. Now, there's been a study in Japan, Kyoto University and the Japan Society for the Promotion of Science. They've been trying to understand how cats behave when their owners are given a bit of a hard time, all right? The same experiments were used using dogs 7 years ago, and they were trying to gauge behavioural differences between the two species, right? So, they've done all this testing on cats and whether they mentally are a bit perturbed by the fact that their owners are being treated badly.
Oh my God.
And team members have concluded that, surprise, surprise, cats do not seem to give a flying fuck how people treat their owners.
Oh.
While dogs keep their distance from those who give their owners the cold shoulder. So cats very much have their own way of dealing with things. Dogs are more demonstratively loyal to their owners. 36 pet cats were used in this experiment, which seems kind of low to me, but either
that's
way,
not many.
each feline faced three people sitting in a row, its owner, who held a lidded container, and one person on each side, known as person A and person B, right? The owner showed the cat that he and she was struggling to open the lid before seeking assistance from person A, right? And so, like, so person B did nothing but sit on the other side of the owner, and then both people offered the food that came out of the container to the cat at the same time. Now, and then they randomly switch roles and stuff, and the cats tended to snuggle up equally to people who provided assistance to their owners as those who declined to help their owners who were just sitting by. The findings suggest that cats do not mind taking food from those who were unkind to their owners. I very much like the idea of doing a little bit of play acting, being unable to open a box in front of a load of cats. Lots of fun. But canines, they're very different. They shun people who chose not to help their owners, indicating that they can interpret and assess people's behaviour. So maybe cats don't understand what's going on, or they do understand what's going on and they could not give a flying fuck. So
I read a study the other day that, like, cats don't really understand cause and effect in the same way dogs do.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But my I dated a girl once who had a dog, and if it looked like you were in an argument, the dog would come in, he'd be like, rawr, rawr, and he'd run in the room and, like, get in between the two people who are arguing or looking like they're having an altercation.
Come
whereas cats
on.
The cat just sat there and shat itself. Like, cats.
Pretty adorable, isn't it? It's pretty bloody adorable.
Cats are cool. I do like cats. I've got over my dislike of cats after Cat Nation. I like cats now, but I'm not surprised by the result of this study. I do find it a bit questionable and a bit odd, the manner in which this study was conducted. Do you not think?
It seems like it seems they could have upped the cruelty a little bit, couldn't they? Like, just, I'm having difficulty opening a Pyrex box, opening a bit of Tupperware. Like, it's hardly that much of a hardship. The cat's going like, God, why are they labouring over that bit of bloody Tupperware? Idiot.
Well, I think we should do this test. We should have me and you in a room, right?
Yeah.
And you should have a cat, and then I'll beat you to death with a stick, and then we'll see if the cat accepts my gift of salmon.
And I look forward to that study being read out in court.
Well, as Pete lay bleeding on the floor,
5% conviction rate in Japan.
As Pete lay bleeding on the floor, Mr. Snuggles took the salmon and wandered off with it. What a ridiculous study! I don't know how I feel about that.
Maybe we could do that on stage at the podcast show.
Oh God!
Actually, yes. I've actually got the dates now. 25th of May. 3 o'clock, me and you on stage, fight to the death at the podcast show in London Islington. If you're coming down, if you're not, come down.
You told me it was the 26th.
Oh, well, I moved it back, didn't I? Because I forgot. It's actually 25th.
Well, I can't do it now. I'm doing a very important study about cats on the 25th. Do cats truly love their owners? Study. I'll be doing that on the 25th of London instead.
Yeah.
All right, 25th of May, guys. We have got an event in London. Both Pete Dawson and myself will be on stage for at least 4 seconds. How long are we on stage for? Give me numbers.
Half an hour, but I mean, we can hang
half
out
an
at
hour?
The stack. We can hang out at the Stack little kind of, what do you call it? Because when you buy tickets to the podcast show, you've got access to the whole thing for 2 days, and there's all kinds of things going on. So we've got like a Stack stand. So I'm going to be stood at the Stack stand. Standing at the Stack stand. And then, that's what I'll be doing. So you can come down and we can see my big LED screen I've rented.
And anybody can come to this. So our listeners, if you're in London or near London or want to come all the way to the UK just to see us on stage for 30 minutes, we'll be promoting the event on Facebook and Twitter in the next few days.
Indeed.
Do I get paid for it? Do I get any money?
I don't get paid for it. I'm losing money, Chris. Honestly. This is advertising the show, mate, to business to business, mate.
Fair enough. I'm looking forward to it. Right. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories and questions in the fax machine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dolls?
Ryan's on the show. Ryan's on the show. Ryan's on the show, and he's ready to go. Hey, Chris and Bates, I got a question regarding food dishes in Japan and the rest of the world. While I was in Japan in 2019, I visited a restaurant, and after receiving my food, noticed that it was garnished with the head of a small flower. Maybe this reflects my inability to cook or my lack of understanding culinary ways, but are flowers and leaves that often come with fancy meals supposed to be a part of the meal? Are they edible or just for show? Thank you. Keep up the good work. Ryan, should you eat leaves that you find on your food?
It's a good question, to be honest. Like, Japan, they do serve lots of leaves and flowers and things on your food.
Right.
And I do it on a flower-by-flower basis. Sometimes they're inedible, sometimes they are edible. And I honestly, I just look at what the other people are doing, and then I decide whether I want to eat it or not. But it's usually abundantly clear if it is an edible flower. If it's a big, colourful flower that looks like it's been picked out of the sand, picked out of the garden and stuffed on your plate. It's usually there for decoration, but just eat it and see what happens. That's what people
do. Just eat it and see what happens. That's my mantra for life, mate. Just eat it and see what happens.
Do that, Ryan. Eat the flowers. Eat them all, even the ones that are just on the floor or in the gardens of Kyoto. Eat them all. Eat all the flowers. Yeah. We got one here from
you
Lee.
You do see it quite a lot in British cuisine as well. These little kind of pink flowers. I'll just eat it. I was in the garden yesterday, and my partner was saying, "Is that mint? Is that a mint bush?" And I was like, "No, it doesn't smell like it." Because I remember like my gran used to have a load of mint, and I was like, I'll taste one of the leaves. Maybe it's just not a very fragrant mint bush. Ate it. And I was like, oh, no, yeah, it is mint. It is mint. And then about a few bites later, I was like, yeah, it's not mint. I'm just eating leaves.
Oh, God.
I'm just in the garden eating fucking leaves. Like my dog's
I'm not letting you in my garden, which I don't have. These are my prized daffodils. Oh, they're gone now. You've eaten them. What a belly. We got one here from Lee from Basildon. All right, lads, inflation has been a heavy topic in the UK lately, with the cost of living shooting through the roof and the clowns in charge not looking out for the average person's best interests. I found a silver lining in that the pound is strong against the yen right now. On the surface, this looks like you can get more bang for your buck. How true is this? Has Japan been hit by inflation, and by what degree? How does it affect you, people that you know, and general day-to-day life in El Japano? El Japano. Is that what it's called in Spanish, or have you just made that up? All the best, Lee from Basildon, making up Spanish words, making me look like a clown. The cost of living has gone up in Japan, as it has everywhere, but you are right. The pound, I think, is pretty strong relative to the yen. I think the yen has got weak in the last year or so. When the pearly gates to Japan open and you come here with a £10 note, you're basically a billionaire. You can buy anything you want. You can eat all the daffodils you deserve.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember when I first came to Japan, it was historically very strong, and then it got weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker until a tenner was like 1,000 yen. Incredible stuff. I mean, it screwed you over massively, Chris. Apologies, mate. You've had a nightmare there.
Yeah, I mean, when I first got here, my jet salary was worth £30,000, the equivalent. And Shinzo Abe came to power in 2012, and he did something to the yen. He basically slapped it in the face with a big stick.
Abenomics.
And the value of the yen went. I can't remember did it get strong? No, it got weak. It got very weak.
Right.
And my salary went down to like the equivalent of like £22,000. It was a massive drop. It was like a third of it just vaporized over the period of 6 months. Of course, I spent most of my salary in Japan, so it wasn't really ever a problem. But definitely something to factor in if you are sending money between Japan and the UK or Japan and the US. The yen tends to fluctuate big time. We've got one here from Konzi. Over to you, Pete.
Konzi! Hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Konstantin, but my friends call me Konzi for short. I'm half Ukrainian, half Russian guy living in Germany. A lot to unpick on that one. Wow. I have a question for both of you. Chris, after living so long in Japan, is there anything you regret doing, and is there something you still want to do but still didn't? Pete, I hope you can still soon visit Japan again. Do you have something, too, that you wanted to do in Japan but still didn't? Best regards. Stay healthy, Konzi. I'm sorry, but Ryotaro was right. German sausages are better. German sausages are better. I would like to add my own weight behind that particular thing. And curry verst is just amazing.
adding you to my death list along with Riotre. How dare you? How dare you speak ill of British sausages? I know German sausages are good, but I still think the best sausages I've ever had were in the UK. But that's a story for another day. It's a story for another day. I haven't been to Munich, and I hear the sausages there are pretty good. I've only been to Berlin, so maybe the sausages in Berlin aren't good. Anyway, regardless, I don't really have that many regrets. The only regret I have is maybe I've spent too much time living in Sendai when I could have like moved around a little bit. Because of what I do YouTube-wise, I do have that flexibility where I can sort of move around, and I didn't do that. And I don't think I ever will. Now that I've built a massively elaborate, ridiculous studio, I can't just be like, right, well, I'll just go to Osaka now. You know, it's there, and I'm stuck in Sendai. I love Sendai, great place to live, very accessible for things. But, you know, I don't think I'll ever live in West Japan, and I don't think I'll ever get to experience what that was like. But really, I don't have that many regrets. You know, I've been very, very lucky with all the things I've got to do here, like the Ken Watanabe or the 47 prefectures I visited, or, you know, I've been able to travel Japan more than anyone else that I know, perhaps with the exception of Ryotaro. But not even he's visited all 47 prefectures, so I'm pretty smug about that. But
I like to pretend that I would sort of, if I was in your position, I'd just spend a few months in Okinawa over the summer months, just on the beach, editing in a little kind of cabin, looking out to the sea, listening to the sea through seashells, etc.
With my cat, with my pile of cats who don't care if I get beaten up. I you know, could still happen. I'm going to Okinawa next week, and I say next week, it's actually tomorrow morning at like 9 a.m. How the fuck am I going to get up at 7? I haven't done that in ages. I'm going to die. And with that in mind, we better wrap things up. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again, and I'll be back to fill you in on how things went on Journey Across Japan, Escape to Paradise, the final series of Journey Across Japan. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have a great week, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now. Ta-ta!
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around to duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.